Psalm 100 is the only psalm in the entire Psalter that is fully devoted to the theme of thanksgiving. When I learned that, it kind of surprised me. I thought that something important like thanksgiving would have gotten more coverage in the Psalter. Now, it certainly has, but not in terms of devoting an entire psalm to the subject. In that regard, 100 is the only one, but certainly the sentiment of thanksgiving and praise is found in many of the psalms. But tonight, let us read together Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us respond together in preparation for the message from this one psalm in the words of 635. We'll remain seated as we sing 635, How Good It Is to Thank the Lord. It is a wonderful thing in our Christian lives to come to the place of being truly thankful before the Lord. St. Augustine has been credited by saying that the three most important virtues in the Christian life are, first of all, humility, second of all, humility, and thirdly, you guessed it, humility. But I would think that if there were to be another virtue close in value to the virtue of humility, it would have to be the virtue of being truly thankful before the Lord. Now, I think so closely are these two virtues related that you are going to be hard-pressed to find genuine humility not accompanied by genuine thankfulness, and vice versa, a spirit of genuine thankfulness unaccompanied by a spirit of genuine humility. Because to be truly thankful to the Lord, we have to be possessed of a spirit of our own unworthiness, our own sinfulness. Isn't that what makes us thankful to the Lord, that he embraces us and owns us in spite of who we are? Isn't that kind of the foundation under a genuinely thankful spirit? But that very same truth also is foundational to a genuine humility, isn't it? Because we realize that in and of ourselves, we haven't got it. We're not such hot stuff. We're not so great. We're not so worthy and what have you, right? And that stems to a genuine humility. But at the same time, that awareness produces in us, in the face of God's goodness, a spirit of genuine thankfulness. And today, at the close of this Thanksgiving weekend, I thought I would explore with you the spirit of genuine thankfulness a little bit more. And it is something that is commanded and commended to us in the Scriptures in a great many places. An intriguing passage in this regard that I have often reflected on is that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And another passage we find in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, after giving the Colossian Christians a great many admonitions with regards to their Christian life and how to conduct themselves and to walk in the spirit of love and a great many other directives there in those verses. beginning in verse 12. But then at the end of verse 15, Paul adds these words to that list. He goes, and be thankful. Be thankful. And just three words, but it's a wonderful reminder that as God's people, it is right for us to be a thankful people. And Psalm 100 in its entirety, I think, is sort of a defining portion of God's word on this topic. You know how we have kind of defining passages in the Word of God with regard to various topics. You know, when you think of love, 1 Corinthians 13 comes to mind. When you think of faith, Hebrews 11. Well, when it comes to thankfulness, Psalm 100 ought to jump into our minds, because it truly is kind of a definitive passage. Listen to these words. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's just one of the five verses of this psalm. And yet, there are so many times, I think, in our life when being genuinely thankful is a tall order for us. I think all of us probably, certainly most of us, I would venture to say, we can look back at times and seasons in our life of which we would have to say, I was just not genuinely thankful. Maybe I wasn't thankful at all. Times when we give ourselves to grumbling and complaining, right? Like the Israelites in the wilderness, we can relate to them when things don't go our way. And we ask ourselves, where is the Lord? Here I thought I was such a faithful servant of the Lord, and everything's against me. Everything is going wrong in my life. And the spirit of thankfulness in times like that just eludes us. And if there aren't times or seasons like that in our life, I think we can, probably all of us as well, we can point to areas in our life of which we can say, in this set of circumstances in my life, I am just not thankful. Things that are difficult for us to accept, illness, adversity, setbacks, maybe a failing business, wayward children. And, you know, we look at things like areas in our life, a difficult spouse, ailing and failing parents that perhaps we must take into our home. And we say, you know, this is just not something that agrees with me. This goes against me. This is just not something that I'm grateful for. And I think dwelling on God's truth in this regard and calling to mind, particularly, and I so often fall back on these words from 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The thought occurred to me that when the Lord tells us to do something, he is not being some austere taskmaster. He is not being unreasonable. He is not loading us up with duties that are too heavy for us to bear. He directs us in a path that is good and that is wise and that is reasonable. A pathway that is the right pathway for us, even though it goes against what we are by nature. But all the ways of the Lord are good and upright, and they are gracious, and they are for our good. They are the pathway of life. And so, rather than thinking of a command like be ye thankful, in everything give thanks, as some austere rule that is too heavy for us to bear, call to mind the infinite wisdom and the infinite goodness and kindness of God, who directs you down that pathway, who tells you, no, do be thankful, because it is the right thing to do. It is the way of life for you. It's the right direction. And it may go against you. It may be hard for you, for your fallen nature to do so. But it is the right pathway. And when you think of it, the truth of God always opposes our fallen natures. Our fallen natures are just opposite the ways of God. Think about it, murmuring, complaining, grumbling, like the Israelites in the wilderness. That comes natural to us. But being thankful, even for the good things that we have in our life, and that we like to think of at Thanksgiving and perhaps share around the Thanksgiving table, being thankful for those things doesn't even come all that natural to us, because we much more readily and much more naturally would live out of a sense of entitlement, like we had it coming to us. Life owes it to us. That's how so many of us think. And to be genuinely grateful for the good things we have in life is not even on that level something that comes very naturally to us. The Apostle Paul describes the natural man in 2 Timothy 3 in verse 2. And one of the descriptions he applies to the natural man is that he is ungrateful and unholy. And that's true. That's who we are by nature. And so it's not surprising that in our Christian walk, as the Lord deals with us, that we come to a place where the Lord says, listen, you be thankful in this set of circumstances. And we say to ourselves, what? Why do you want me to be thankful? Just be happy if I can endure under it, if I can put up with it. But being grateful for it, that is more than my flesh reasonably is willing to accept and is willing to endure. And yet how different is the regenerate man, the renewed man, the man who has his heart enlightened and enlivened by the things of God. To the regenerate man, the ways of God are not grievous. To the regenerate man, his burdens are not heavy. The natural man can't stand the ways of God, but the regenerate man, by and by the Lord's dealings with him, and by God's gracious providence, he is brought to the place where he experiences the truth of the words of the Lord Jesus, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Lord's ways are not grievous. But how are we brought to that place where even under the hardships of life, we learn to have within our hearts a spirit of genuine thankfulness? And two truths come to mind, at least to my mind, in dwelling on this. The first one is, again, so much a part of Psalm 100. It is this, that a spirit of genuine thankfulness is never centered in a set of circumstances. It is always centered in the presence of a person. Look at Psalm 100 again. And see how the psalmist centers his thanksgiving, not in a set of circumstances for which he is thankful, not because the sun is shining on him and the wind is at his back, but he gives thanks because of the presence of a person. He centers his thanksgiving in the person of his God. Let's read the psalm again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. It is the presence of the Lord himself with his people that must become the ground of our thankfulness. If we are thankful based on our outward circumstances, the pleasantness of them or the unpleasantness of them, we are going to find that our thankfulness comes and goes, that it makes itself wings, that it evaporates before the spirit of adversity, when the winds of adversity are blowing. Our thankfulness will evaporate. But if it is grounded in a person, the person of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is always present with us, well, then we have something of a steadfast rock on which to plant our feet and for which always to be thankful. The Lord Jesus promised us that he would be with us always. I'm with you always. The Lord promises us as his people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. With regards to the Holy Spirit, he says, he will abide with you. He's not going to leave you. He will be with you. He will be within you even. I mean, how much closer can he get than to take up his residence within us? And more than that, this Lord promises that he will weave together all the circumstances of our life in such a way that they are going to work for our eternal good, right? He promises that. And as such, we can say with the Apostle Paul that the hardships of this life, the unpleasantness, humanly speaking, which is but for a moment, works for us a far greater and eternal weight of glory. And writing to the Romans, Paul says, "And we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work patience, and patience works perseverance, and perseverance hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts." Right? There, then, I would suggest to you, is the ground for your thankfulness. It's not in the circumstances. And now I bring you back one more time to those words in 1 Thessalonians 5 that tell us, in everything, give thanks. It does not say, for everything, give thanks. But in every set of circumstances, be thankful to God. And if you ground that thankfulness in the person of your Savior, who has given himself to you, who has joined himself to you, and in that union with him, he has inherited all your sinfulness and carried it away on his cross. And at the same time, in that union, you have inherited all his righteousness, all his blessedness, all that he is yours. So much so that the apostle can say, all things are yours, right? Because all things are Christ's. And the heavenly Father has submitted all things into the hands of his Son. The kingdom is his. The power and the glory are his. And we are joined to him in that. And so when you ground your thankfulness in the person of your Savior, it will be much easier for you. And it will remain that in a fallen world, there is much for which not to be thankful. But in all those things, we may be thankful. Under all those things, we still may have a thankful spirit because of who our Lord is. We're certainly not thankful for the fallenness of this world, for the wretchedness of this world, the blindness, the hardness of hearts of people around us. Now, often we suffer as a result of that in this world. But in all these things, in the book of Romans, again, Romans 8, in all these things, in tribulations, in distresses, Paul has a whole list of things. And then he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so in these things, we can give thanks because of our Savior. He has overcome. And because of that, we too shall overcome. He lives, and because he lives, we shall live also. So ground your thankfulness in the person of your Savior. And then call to mind that it is not for everything that you are thankful, but it is in everything and under everything that you are thankful because of your Savior. And finally, if thankfulness is such a wonderful grace in our life, and certainly Psalm 100 commends it to us, it ends with saying that the Lord is good, that his steadfast love endures forever, and that his faithfulness is to all generations. That is the ground of our thankfulness. God is a good God. God is a gracious God. His goodness and his graciousness are steadfast. They do not change. And his faithfulness in these things endures to all generations. You know something that is especially important to remember in the dark days of our life? If you want to practice a genuinely thankful spirit, and I hope that you desire to do that, pay attention to this, that there is no time to do so like the dark days in your life. If you can learn to be genuinely thankful under the hardships of life, that is a wonderful testimony the world around us. When I first came into the ministry many years ago, I showed up for my job at the First Baptist Church in Merrick, now Grace Reformed Church. That is where I started out in days before I became part of a Reformed understanding of things. And my very first day on the job, the senior pastor of that church at the time, he came walking into my office, and he said he just came from the home of one of our dying parishioners. And this man, who was near death at the time, had suffered since he was a young man from brittle bone disease. That probably has a fancier name, but that's how it was known to us at the time. These are people whose bones become so brittle that even in their sleep, they break their bones. And it's kind of a rare condition, but he had it. And he had that condition since very shortly after he and his wife were married. He was diagnosed with it. And his life had just been a life of suffering, of breaking bones frequently, being bedridden. And he had lived like that probably for about 40 years. And now had come to the close of his days. And the pastor visiting with him spoke with him about leaving this world and going to be with the Lord. And if he was ready to leave this world and go to be with the Lord. And one of the things that this man said to the senior pastor was, "Pastor, I want you to know God has been so good to me." And they were just words that so many of us in that church was shared with all of us, and so many of us in future days and years would quote old Earl Ballard. Earl Ballard was the man's name. And we would quote him on that. Pastor, God has been so good to me, because coming from his lips, he had learned the art, if you will, or the grace of being genuinely thankful under very hard and very difficult circumstances. How many of you know the name Gracia Burnham? Does that ring a bell with anyone? She is not from the OPC circles, but she was a missionary who was very much in the news in the early 1900s, particularly 2002 is the year in question. She and her husband, Martin Burnham, were Bible translators in the Philippines, working with a tribal group of people in whose language the scriptures had not yet been translated. And they were working on that. And while working on that, they were kidnapped by a group of Muslim extremists who are still very much in the news. If you listen to the news, in the Philippines, it's still very much a place of unrest where Muslim extremists commit lots of acts of terrorism and so forth. But these were the early days of Muslim extremism in the Philippines, and they were kidnapped by them. And they were held by this group for over a year and 10 days, it turned out to be. And they lived under deplorable conditions in the jungles of the Philippines. The Philippine army was in hot pursuit, but the group stayed ahead of the Philippine army quite a few times. The army got close, but they got away. But eventually, they were surrounded by an army unit, and there was a shootout, and Martin Burnham took a bullet to his chest and died in his wife's arms. But before that happened, she relates the hardships of life in the jungle. They were eaten alive by mosquitoes. They were severely malnourished, and they were not treated kindly by their captors. And so life was difficult. But she says it was very shortly before that final raid in which her husband passed away, and she also took a bullet to her leg but survived. But one day, it was on a Sunday, her husband said to her, "You know, this is the Lord's Day, and it is the day that the Lord has made. And so it is right for us that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And we are going to do so." And together, very quietly, they sang some of the hymns that they knew from memory, and they recited portions of scripture and promises that God had made, and they worshiped God together. She says they came to the place of being genuinely thankful, even in those very difficult circumstances. And she said, in retrospect, that experience made losing her husband so much easier for her. Because although she misses him dearly, she is willing to miss him. She has given him back to the Lord. And it was amazing. I heard this woman speak, and it was amazing how she communicated the spirit of genuine thankfulness. Not for everything that they had been through, but in everything. And they had tasted and they had experienced the graciousness and the goodness of God, even in those very difficult circumstances. And my encouragement, my exhortation to you is, if you really want to grow in the discipline and in the grace of genuine thankfulness, make it a point to especially practice it in the dark days of your life, and ground it not in the circumstances, but in the person who has promised you that he would be with you, that he would never leave you or forsake you, and that he would work together all these things for your eternal good. In his hands, we can't be anything but genuinely thankful. May God work it in all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.